Turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. We are getting on down to the end of this book and the end of this study. James chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. That last verse we are also going to be looking at next week, but I want to include it this week, because if we do the right things and we're patient, then God tells us that we will be able to bear fruit. And that's what it's all about. Jesus has ordained us that we bear fruit, that we be fruit bearers, and that our fruit should remain. And so may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. Tonight we're going to look at Naphtali, the Naphtali characteristic. His characteristic is one of an independent spirit. In Genesis chapter 49, with Jacob prophesying over his 12 sons, he comes to Naphtali in verse 21, and he says, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. The word goodly there means pleasure. And Naphtali is represented here as a deer roaming free. The word hind in reference to that which would be the same as a deer for us today. I'd like to, before we go any further, share with you some quotes concerning the independent spirit. Jerry Cook said, Jesus never attacked the sinner. He simply said, I forgive. Meanwhile, he attacked the self-righteous with a vengeance because he knew that until they felt guilty, they couldn't be forgiven. Isn't that true? Until we feel guilt and cry out for relief and forgiveness from the guilt, we cannot be forgiven. Oswald Chambers said, the knowledge of where people are wrong is a hindrance to prayer, not an assistance. I want to tell you the difficulties so that you may pray intelligently. People sometimes say that. I want to tell you about all the specifics of my prayer request so that you can pray intelligently. Well, he said, the more you know, the less intelligently you pray, because you forget to believe that God can alter the difficulties. The more we know, the more we try to figure it out, and we try to say, God, now you need to do this, and God, you need to do it this way. Instead of letting God alter the difficulties as only he can. Vance Havner said, God wants our bodies as living sacrifices, not corpses. You probably heard that, you know, God wants us to place ourselves upon the altar as a living sacrifice. The only problem with a living sacrifice is it can get up and get off the altar when it wants to. God wants us living, but he wants us living for him. He wants us sacrificing ourselves for him. And then E.W. Tozer said, among the plastic saints of our times, Jesus has to do all the dying, and all we want is to hear another sermon about the dying. Needs to be some death to ourselves, and not just hear about all that Jesus has given up and did for us, died for us, but we need to be willing to die to ourselves that we might live for him as well. Well, Jacob was referring to Naphtali like a hind let loose, or as a deer that is roaming and doing whatever this deer wants to do. This deer is seeking pleasure and speaking words regarding pleasure. And James gives a warning about those who do that, saying that some have an independent spirit and they're being wanton and living in pleasure. So the advice that James gives for those who might have the Naphtali spirit is to be patient, therefore, brethren. Be patient. We have looked at that word over and over again in the study, that word patient. It's the key word in all of the book of James. And it comes from a compound word which means to remain under. To remain under. And so the advice here that James gives is not to roam, not to have an independent spirit and do whatever you want to do, but remain under the covering, the protection of God's house, to remain under the covering of God's anointing and God's leadership. Well, what are some of the causes of the Naphtali spirit? What would cause people to want to run? And what would they want to run from? Well, first of all, there's pressures of storms and testings. James said right away, verse 3 of chapter 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The storms and the trials and the testings are things that God uses to bring patience, produce patience in our lives. And James is telling us that during the pressure and storms of testings, we need to realize that this is not the time to run, but we try to run from our pressures. We try to run from the storms of life. We try to run from the tests that come our way. How many times we think, we know that grass is greener on the other side, so I just think I'll hop the fence and I'll run over there. And by running away, we think we'll be able to escape our problems and our pressures. The advice that James gives is not to run. You need to remain under the covering of God's house in the place where God has planted you. Another reason why people run is because of offenses. They're offended. When a person gets offended, they usually say things like, I'm not coming to church anymore. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to check out some other churches. I don't want to get close to people anymore because they hurt me. I just don't want to get hurt again. And in reality, there are those that wander from place to place because they have been hurt. And instead of growing, they want to begin all over. But they experience similar hurts in other places. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 4 says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Proverbs 27:8 says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Third reason why people would maybe want to run is because of a lack of submission, a lack of total surrender of the human will to the will of God. You know, I really think the hardest thing in the Christian life is to surrender my will. To surrender my will to God's will. You know, that was the struggle that Jesus had in the garden. But he got victory over it. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's difficult for us to surrender our wills. And it goes all the way back to Satan, Lucifer. He was the king of the I wills. And he had five I wills that he said one day. And they are listed for us in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. He says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's what Lucifer says. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now there are times when God wants us to move from one locality to another. There are times when God calls us to do that. But we need to be careful that we don't move because of our own self-assertiveness. A person is on dangerous ground when they do that. Number two, you outline the progression of a Naphtali spirit. First of all, a willful violation of the Word of God. When there is constant violation of the Word of God, then God will put pressure upon that person. And sometimes God allows trials because of our sin, but not always. Sometimes there are trials that come our way, and these trials are meant to only have a purifying effect upon our lives. But when God challenges us through His Word, if we don't obey, He's going to bring pressure on us. The answer is not to run from God. The answer is not to run from that pressure, but instead it's to submit to His Word and His will for our life. A violation of the Word of God, our conscience, and then resistance to conviction. softens the conscience, doesn't make the conscience as effective as God wants it to be. And then the suppression of guilt, where we suppress the conscience. Suppression of guilt suppresses the conscience. So we do something wrong, we're challenged by that, God brings conviction. If we don't repent, our conscience loses some of its effect. And then we have this guilt. We know what's right. We know we should repent. But we put this guilt underneath and we start to rationalize and we suppress our conscience. And then finally, we have the escape of divine pressure where we sear our conscience. As the Holy Spirit continues to bring pressure and the person suppresses it, then eventually they will try to escape the divine pressure. The afterlife spirit is to want to get out from under the pressure that God's bringing on them for change. Instead of repenting, they suppress the guilt and they try to run from it. Some people just, they stop having a quiet time, a devotional time. They stop coming to church because when they come to church, they're confronted. The Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin. They feel the guilt, but rather than confess and repent, they would rather stay away. And a person who continually runs from that, they sear their conscience. Their conscience no longer has the purifying effect upon their life that it needs to have. And number three is the nature of the afterlife spirit is to break down standards or barriers. James chapter 5 and verse 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Pleasure in the Greek is a compound word which means to break down. And so a person with an afterlife spirit breaks down hedges, breaks down barriers, and jumps the fence. The nature of the afterlife spirit, self-assertiveness, and they give themselves over to their own pleasures and desires. And then there comes a breaking down of standards or a breaking down of barriers. People will do things, and they will say things such as, the things that I got into, I didn't believe I would ever do. What happens is that they started into some area of sin. Maybe God brought pressure upon them through counsel or preaching or teaching of the word, and they began to feel the pressure for change. But they didn't want to change. So rather than, they wanted to give themselves to these things rather than give them up, so they do what they want to do. And consequently, the barriers begin to fall. They have standards that they once had and they once believed in. They see those standards begin to fall. I'm thinking of some very good friends that we had. A man said to me, you could never preach too hard for me. Guess what? I preached too hard for him. I preached something that was just too hard for him, too difficult for him. He couldn't put it into practice in his life. You know what? They began to run. They began to run from church to church, and eventually they just dropped out altogether. And the things that we saw in their life and in their family, things that I never would believe they would have ever allowed, they started to do. And they started to bring in their home. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we shouldn't run. We don't need the independent spirit, the self-assertive spirit, to run. We need to repent. The afterlife spirit B indulges in self. James chapter 5, verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Wanton means to indulge. So this kind of spirit is an indulging spirit. So in the area of carnal appetites, there's a pattern being developed of doing that which would be satisfying and indulging for self. The afterlife spirit will slowly go further into sin if they don't repent and allow the change God wants in their life. James 5:5, you have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. James says that the people who give themselves over to an independent spirit nourish their own self-willed hearts. They're like animals that stuff themselves. They just eat, eat, eat. They are preparing for the day of slaughter. They fatten themselves for judgment. And then C condemns others. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Somebody with an afterlife spirit will condemn other people. They call anyone who is submissive to leadership or a church a cult. If someone brings godly care and counsel to them or gives corrective exhortation and warns them not to do something, they will say that this person is just trying to bring some kind of extreme authority or extreme control over them. They condemn others, which is a form of self-justification. D, they oppress the righteous. An afterlife spirit is a fighting spirit. You kill the just. It's a spirit that suppresses others. And then finally, number four, the results of the afterlife spirit. Spiritual death, Proverbs 21:16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. See, there are some who, with the independent spirits, they begin to roam. And they wander about independently, and they meet others in the same kind of condition, with the same kind of spirit. And they attract other wanderers, and roamers attract other roamers, and together they make up the congregation of the dead. God wants us to be a part of the congregation of the living. He wants us to be a part of the people of God that have the anointing and the presence of God in their lives. Spiritual death. And then B, destruction. Job 26:6, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. You know, I really am concerned for people that don't go to church. Why am I concerned? I'm concerned because they have no covering. They have no accountability. They have no protection. Consider this, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. I see people who get out there, they get outside of the covering of their church, or young people might run away from home and get outside the protection of their parents, and they just destroy their lives. Destruction has no covering. If there is no covering, if you are rebellious to your covering, to your authority, then destruction awaits you. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Why is that true? Because when you are involved in witchcraft, you open yourself up to the realm of Satan. And the Bible says the same thing. If you rebel, you get outside of the covering, you expose yourself to the realm of Satan. Destruction has no covering. But God will provide the house of the Lord. God will provide people to be a spiritual covering for you, to protect you against destruction. But Job says if there is no covering, then destruction will happen eventually. See, displeases the Lord. Jeremiah 14:10 says, thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. The people of Jeremiah's day, they love to wander, and the Lord is displeased with people who love to wander, according to this verse. And so, you know, I'm preaching to the wrong people here tonight, I realize that. But, you know, we need to plug ourselves in to the church and be planted and prosper and be fruitful where God has planted us. And then darkness. Those with an afterlife spirit results in darkness. Job chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. But the imagery there is very unique. The person who has an afterlife spirit is a man who wanders in the wilderness, who doesn't know the way to go. That would be me if I was out there in the forest somewhere. I would not know which way to go. That's the imagery here. He's like a man also groping in darkness where there is no light. He's like a drunk man that stares around. Just has a hollow look. Is not able to focus on anything. And then the result of an afterlife spirit is desolation. Psalm 68 and verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So what is the solution? What is the solution to the Naphtali spirit? First of all, acknowledge sin. Where there is sin in your life, even if it's just this tendency to have an independent spirit about you, acknowledge it. The desire to do what you want to do must be acknowledged, because that is the basis of iniquity. And number two, repent. Once you have acknowledged your sin, you have to repent of it. Number three, get back in a local church and remain under. If you know anybody that is just wandering out there free, encourage them to get back in a church, or get in a church if they've never been there, and remain under that covering, that protection. And then ask forgiveness of those offended. Ask forgiveness of those that you have offended. And when you do this, God will take care of your independent spirit, and you will know what it means to be patient. And then God will help you in these last days to be stronger, and you will bear much fruit. See, the key to bearing fruit is being patient. Not running, staying where you're planted. You took a out in your garden, and your garden is just about ready to produce fruit. And you plucked up those plants, and you went and tried to plant them another place, or you just took them out, and you let those plants wander from place to place. They're never going to produce fruit. You have to leave them, let them be planted where they were in order to be fruitful, in order to grow fruit. And it's the same way with us. We need to remain planted. We need to be patient, so that we might be able to bear fruit. Be patient. The pressures, the storms, the trials, the testings in your life, be patient. God will bring fruit out of those experiences. My tendency has always been to run. I like to run from pressure. But I realize we need to deal with pressure. And you can't always run from it. I learned after a few experiences that when I failed the test and I ran away, further on down the road, I had the same test. God was not going to let me go until I stood up to it and until I passed it. He'd just take me back to it. I'd try to run somewhere else, but he would bring that same test back in front of me. I learned in one church the problems that I had, and I ran from it. My first church. And I found the same problems in the second church. And I had to deal with them. I could have just kept running. I probably could have faced the same problems in this church. God would have allowed those problems to be there so that he could teach me what he wanted to teach me. We can't run from our problems. We can't run from our trials. We can't run from our tests. We need to be patient in them. Learn what God wants us to learn. Repent when we need to repent. And then God will bring fruit. God will bring fruit in our lives. He has ordained us to bring fruit, and that fruit shall remain. And you know what? Next time I say something to you, I preach something to you that is offensive, the Bible makes it very clear that those who teach will be offensive. Don't run. Simply consider that maybe what pastor has to say, there's a grain of truth in there. And check your heart. Repent if you need to repent. Stay under the protection of your God-given authorities. Have your head bowed and your eyes closed. It's easy for any of us to have an independent spirit. I think the younger we are, the more tendency we have to be independent and self-assertive. the more tendency we have to get outside of the coverings that God has ordained for us. And so, young people, I would encourage you to stay under the protection of your parents, your church. Stay under the covering that's there. And if you're here tonight and there is an independent spirit, this Naphtali characteristic in your life, you're represented as a deer roaming free, living in pleasure, doing what you want, asserting your will above all. I would just really beseech you tonight to confess that as sin and as iniquity. Because I'd hate for any of these consequences to happen to anybody here tonight. So would you confess it to the Lord? Don't let it go any further. Don't let it wreck your conscience. Don't let it sear your conscience. But repent of it tonight. Don't break down any barriers. You know, if you have to break down a barrier, if you have to jump a fence, then you know that what you're doing is wrong. Get back on the right side of the fence tonight. Heavenly Father, only you know what's going on in our hearts tonight. Because, Lord, on the outside, we might do all the right things and still have a spirit within us that is not right. Have an independent spirit that is not right. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those who need to be spoken to tonight, that the power of your Holy Spirit would be able to penetrate and bring conviction, that your word tonight would be able to cut through down to the very inner beings of us, that your word would lay us open and expose us to ourselves as we really are. Help us, Lord, to get victory over the independent spirit, and help us to be and learn to be dependent upon you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I know the battle is rough. I know it can get very tough and very difficult. And as we were singing the song tonight, after Brian gave his testimony, the battle belongs to the Lord. You really believe that? I do. I really believe it. But it's sometimes difficult to live as if the battle belongs to him. We think so much depends upon ourselves. But as we were singing that, I just had a thought. If the battle belongs to the Lord, and it does, and he wins the battle, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be strong. That allows us to focus on being strong and courageous. And God said to Joshua over and over again, be strong and be very courageous. That's our responsibility. The results are up to God. But we need to, through patience, be strong and very courageous. When I started the book of James, I told you would be going through pressures because the Lord would be bringing trials into your life to help you grow. And probably you, and I know some experiences that I've had, never expected some of the things that God would allow to happen in order to make us grow. And probably if we had known some of the testings that we would go through, we probably would have said, I don't want to go through it. I don't want to do it. But I want to encourage you, because as you look back on life years from now, you will see that there was fruit. And you'll see that God caused you to grow through that process. That's what we got to hang on to. Learn patience. And there's no other way to learn it than to going through trials and pressures of life.